Recorded live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Will. Welcome to Moto IQ Radio. Judging by the sheer amount of people in the chat room, this is going to be a very popular show. This will definitely rival the drifting shows where we have drivers and other personalities. But I really appreciate everybody coming to check out this show. Big shout outs to everybody that's in the chat room. We have some of the best right now on the line. We have Lindbergh Nguyen, we have Will Rogge, we got Larry Chen, Justin Shreve, Joshua Heron. Did I miss anybody? Joe Ayala. This is deep. We're really, really deep right now. So I guess, you know, just so everybody can sort of get a feel for everybody's voices, how we're going to play this out is before you comment, I guess just say your name, and I guess as this thing moves along, everybody will get a feel for everybody's voice and we'll be able to make it happen. So I guess going down the line, Will Rogge, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Well, it's good to be back on here.
Oh, yeah, man, definitely, definitely. For those who don't know, Will Rogge was on Will's CarCast. You get on the way, way back machine, you'll go back and listen to that episode and have a great time with that. I had his partner, Ricky Chu, also on the show. If you go and check out willscarcast.wordpress.com, most of my old episodes are up there. We also have Joe Ayala. How you doing tonight, Joe?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you on.
Yeah,
up next, we have, hey, I greatly appreciate it. We'll definitely have everybody back on a little bit later throughout this season. It's going to be an epic, epic season, and you guys are definitely cranking out the videos. Up next, we have Joshua Heron. How you doing tonight, Joshua?
Yo, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Most def, most def. No problems. Glad to have you on the show. Let's see. Up next, we have Lindbergh Nguyen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
And no problem, no problem. Thank you for coming on the show. Larry Chen, you're out there, too.
Hello.
There you go. You sound good now. Sounding good. Sounding good. Welcome to the show. Greatly appreciate it. Let's see. Did I miss anybody? Who am I missing?
Me.
Yeah. I figured he would chime in at some point. Justin Shreve, how you doing, man? Glad to have you on the show.
I'm good, man. It's good to be here.
Very, very cool. Okay, well, did I miss anybody again? I don't know. This is the most amount of people I've had on the show ever, so forgive me if I miss anybody, but, man, you know, I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. I believe you guys are providing a invaluable service to our lovely segment of the industry, and I'm sure everybody in the chat room would greatly appreciate it. Justin, I'll give you first crack at this. I think you sort of gave me this first question.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
Okay. Well, sort of the first question was basically about motorsports and photography, and sort of how all of you came to be and sort of how you guys all sort of found each other as things progressed. So I guess, you know, tell us a little bit of your backstory briefly, and, you know, we'll make the rounds.
All right. I started shooting as a kid, just borrowing, like, you know, relatives' cameras, shooting skateboarding and stuff. And that slowly evolved into, you know, a love for motorsports, and I like shooting what I like to watch. And I started seeing, like, you know, friends' videos, like before I met Will and Josh, you know, watching their videos online, and it got me hyped, got me wanting to go to FD events, and so I made it happen, and here I am. I don't know.
Will Rogge, what about you?
How did I meet all these guys?
Yeah, how did you run into making the link between motorsports and photography and filmmaking?
I was doing a lot of corporate work originally, and had always really kind of been into cars. Always wanted to build like a EK or EG hatch, like back in the day before I was even into drifting, and went out to a couple events with a company I was working with, Rice Boy TV. And had the opportunity to shoot, I think it was like the 2008 Formula Drift season, and did that. and did some webisodes. So met up with Josh like immediately within that first year, same with Lindbergh, and then you know, Justin, Joe, and Larry were pretty close thereafter.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I think as we progress through this interview, I'm sure everybody will come into the same thing, which is, you know, you guys all have a love for cars. Larry Chen, what about you? How did you come into motorsports and photography and filmmaking?
Yeah, I started driving, actually, just coming out of high school and just competing locally, you know, doing solo two or whatever events. And then I realized that I was a better photographer than a driver. So I just started shooting more and more, and then did my first Formula Drift event in 2006. Just got hooked since then, and pretty much went full-time in 2010.
Wow. That's pretty sweet, man. That's pretty sweet. Joe Ayala, how about you?
I've always been, like, doing the camera thing. I started driving before I started shooting drifting or any kind of motorsports and just taking pictures of it. And then I met Shreve. Then we, you know, got to know each other a little bit more. He kind of shared the same passion that I did. And, you know, 2010, we just kind of jumped into Formula D and tried it, you know, just to see what would happen and kind of came out of it. So it's been cool.
Joshua, what about you?
Yeah, similar kind of story to like Larry and Joe. I was driving before, right out of high school. I was driving drift events and stuff, and then I wasn't able to drive at an event, and I was in school for TV productions and all that stuff. So I took my parents' camera down to the event just to film it because I didn't have anything else to do, and then that became something that was fun to me. So I pretty much put myself in debt for a camera and started going out to FD events, and that's when I met Will, and then we started, you know, shooting a bunch of stuff at all the events, and then I met Joe and Justin and Larry and Lindbergh shortly after that. So pretty similar to Joe and Larry.
Very nice. Very nice. Lindbergh, how about you?
I got into this as I got into Miatas like pretty late in the game, probably in like 2006. And I was just a huge racer, just hanging out in parking lots and things like that. And you know, I liked really low cars, and I became a very visual person. And so I liked little cars and started shooting them. And there I went on and progressed to shooting drifting, like grassroots events. And there I met a couple of people there, and again, they started talking about Formula D. And from there, I started shooting for a website called coldtrackdays.com. And that gave me a little bit of exposure in the field of motorsports. And from there I progressed to a photographer at speedhunters.com. And here I am now.
Well, I guess, as everybody can tell, and no doubt everybody is following what you guys do, I mean, I don't think we can go too far and see any vehicle that's going sideways and not see any of you guys' names attached to it. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some other guys out there too, but you guys are definitely, you know, some of the people that are definitely putting out some of the most amount of content. But one of the things that I think me and Will have spoken about this before, but you know, and Justin, you alluded to it too, which is coming from extreme sports. So between Justin and Will, I guess for the rest of you guys, did you guys come from extreme sports? Larry, we'll start with you.
I didn't really come from any extreme sport, but I definitely came from the mean streets of Hollywood, being a paparazzi full-time for 2 years before I was a full-time motorsport photographer. So, you know, telling the story, getting the shot was definitely part of my daily routine. Actually, like, fighting other photographers for space, you know, elbowing for space on the red carpet was just one of those things that I had to do. So, like, at Formula Drift Long Beach, when there's 350 media, you know, I'm kind of used to just the limited shooting space and the deadlines and, you know, shots getting stale and stuff like that. I guess it kind of translates a little bit.
Interesting. What about you, Joe?
See, way back when I used to be a rollerblader. I don't know if that's too extreme, but little Fruiterer kid. And then, I don't know, about the same time, I was always, like, into snowboarding. I used to go up, like, after school, high school, college, whatever. Like, mountain was half an hour from my place, so just go up there, you know, ride all day, come back at night, and, you know, put my schoolwork, you know, right after that. And so, yeah, still doing the snowboard thing, but I guess not really too big into skateboarding or BMX or anything like that, but.
No, I mean, I used to rollerblade too, man. They'll be, you know, it's all right. It's, you know,
yeah.
you're definitely still jumping off of stuff. That's fairly extreme,
uh-huh.
I guess.
I love rollerblading.
It's definitely the way to go, but I'm a little bit too old for that these days. I think, you know, need to definitely look into something a little bit of the, you know, larger four-wheel variety, so maybe I'll cop something at some point. Joshua, what about you? You come from extreme sports?
I mean, I always, when I was younger, I tried skateboarding, but I was always terrible at it, and then I dislocated my knee like an idiot, and then I just stopped.
Woof.
So I guess I kind of have like a extreme sports background, because I was filming my buddies with, you know, gigantic VHS tape, just making stupid little skate videos and stuff like that, and that kind of led into, you know, making like little short films with the neighborhood kids and stuff like that. So I guess it kind of ties in, I guess.
Interesting. Lindbergh, I always see you always got that giant hat on. I figure you're going skiing or snowboarding or something. What about you?
I'm the sport of all the guys. As I said before, I grew up getting in the cars, like just being stupid and liking low things. And if you consider dodging cones as like an extreme sport and potholes an extreme sport, then yeah, it's considered an extreme sport. But I wouldn't consider myself anything like that.
All right. Well, that's cool, though. I mean, you know, autocrossing and dodging cones is definitely all right with me.
I was talking about
guess...
dodging construction cones, by the way.
Well, you know, hey, sometimes you just gotta go out there and take it on the street. I don't necessarily agree with it, but, you know, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right? I guess let's talk about photography in general. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, see what you guys do, and I guess some of you guys make it look really, really easy, and I guess some of you guys, I'm sure it's a lot harder than it seems. I guess can each of you guys give somebody who wants to get out there and get shots, you know, can you give one or two tips for those that are trying to elevate their game? And I'm sure you guys get this a lot. I know you do. As a matter of fact, I think I saw somebody post about this earlier today. I guess we'll start with you, Justin. I mean, one or two tips for somebody that's looking to, you know, elevate their game.
I'm so glad you asked me that question first, because Joe is on a video chat with me right now using his mirrors as headphones. And so I'm really distracted, so I'm going to ignore him. Photography?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing. I just copy these guys and get lucky sometimes and works out. I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I'm dead serious. I definitely have learned a lot from these guys over the years. But I mean, I don't know. I get asked that a lot, actually, you know, for help with like picking equipment and things, and I don't know. It's hard to say. Ask Lindbergh.
All right, Lindbergh, you're up next then.
Some tips on photography is that since so many people are into photography now, the most important aspect to just like up your game or to get noticed or just to get somewhere where you want to get is to just be yourself and copy other people's work, but put your own twist to it. But always keep shooting. Always be yourself, because being yourself is more important than having a good shot, in my mind, because having that individualism will stick you out from the rest of the pack. And that's, yeah, just keep shooting. And don't become inundated with nerding out over gear, because in the end, you will get the gear, so just don't worry about it. Just all you have to do is worry about shooting and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot.
Okay. Well, there you go, everybody. Joshua, what about you?
I pretty much agree 100% with Lindbergh. I mean, just do it and just don't really worry about, you know, what other people think too much. I mean, it's always cool to get feedback and stuff like that, but it's all like, you know, just doing what you like and kind of pushing your own bar and seeing, you know, what happens with it, and just, you just go from there pretty much.
Sweet, sweet. Joe, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that's helped me is just kind of surrounding myself with other people that are really into the same things that I am, as far as shooting motorsports and, you know, shooting life blasting and just getting on, just, you know, using my camera and, you know, just trying to build on, you know, on what I have and just trying to make myself better and kind of push myself, just, you know, and just kind of surround myself with the sort of people that, you know, help me do that.
Hmm. I guess, Larry, as a photog, I guess, no doubt you are, you know, like you said, you know, trying to, you know, jockey for position and get those shots. What would you say?
I say the best piece of advice I can give anyone is just don't show your outtakes. Just shoot a lot to show your best stuff. If you come from an event or a car show, or anything, just with one shot, and it's a good shot, then you succeeded. See, if you show everyone your outtakes, then that's what really makes someone a good photographer, is if you only show people your good stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what all of us do. And the more you do it, the better you're at choosing your good photos or video or et cetera.
Interesting. Will?
I don't know. That's a tough question, in my opinion. It's difficult to say exactly. You know, I think that there's all a little bit from each one of those you can combine into one. Like, I think Larry's point about not releasing everything that you do and definitely controlling your image and controlling, you know, the perception of your work that's out there, especially if you want to pursue something professionally. I think overall, just starting out, though, is maybe go take a class or try to find a mentor in the field that you want to do.
I guess, you know, if you have a particular thing that you're really interested in, just go out there and get those shots. And then, you know, pick your best shots from there. But just ultimately, I guess, keep taking shots, I guess. I mean, that seems to be the big point. That's cool. I definitely appreciate that. I guess filmmaking is the next big thing. And I guess filmmaking, like extreme sports for skateboarding, rollerblading, snowboarding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With the advent of all this technology and I guess the price of entry for getting out there and doing filmmaking is definitely on the reduction. What would you say for you guys is the big attraction for filmmaking? And we will start with Joe.
The big attraction to it?
Yes.
I don't know. I always, I used to film like snowboarding when I was a kid, and I kind of got into it a little bit, but was never really good at editing. And then I saw Justin's stuff when he used to film at our local, you know, just events in Oregon, and this stuff just like blew me away, and I always just wanted to kind of like, you know, add on or like recreate something or just sort of like, you know, just get into it again and just kind of, you know, show a whole event in the way that he did. And he was a big inspiration to me, and, you know, a lot of other guys, like, you know, and Will and a bunch of other dudes just, you know, did so much awesome stuff, and I was just like, man, I want to get into this now. So just kind of working at it, and I'm not that good of an editor, though. Not like Justin is.
Well, Justin, I guess he's handing off to you, filmmaking.
Great. The attraction to it.
Yeah.
I think what first got me into it, like, I found cameras interesting and you know, thought they were fun to use, but the main thing for me is there are so many good, just amazing moments in life that you forget, and I hate that. And my whole life I just want to, you know, document what's going on around me so that I can look back and enjoy it, you know, for the rest of my life. And so that's where it first started for me, you know, shooting, like, my cousin's skateboarding when I was, like, 12 years old. Like, I sucked at filming, but you know, I could go back and, you know, if I found an old enough camera, I could still watch those tapes. And so it's just kind of an evolution of that for me. I just want to, like, I enjoy motorsports of all kinds. I, you know, particularly enjoy drifting. And when I go to a drift event, I want to capture what I'm seeing so that I can watch it over and over and over and over and over again. And people started to enjoy that. You know, people started to see my videos and, you know, compliment me on them or thank me for making them, you know, because they're in them or whatever. And, you know, it was that encouragement that made me continue and eventually pursue, you know, just improving my work. So, yeah, but it's just the documentation of what I love.
Interesting. Will, you're up next.
What made me get into making videos?
Yeah, for filmmaking. Yeah, I mean, I understand for, you know, more business aspects, but I guess, you know, personally, when you're doing, you know, shooting your friends or anything like that, you know, is there something attractive about it? I mean, does it translate into, like, movies on a much grander scale, you know, like E.T. and shit like that, or is it more just trying to kick it with your friends and, you know, have fun with the videos?
I think this is like a good mix of both when you're doing things right. You know, I think that the secret is that most of us would probably say that if we didn't get paid to do what we do, we'd probably still be doing it anyhow just because we love doing it. And
mm-hmm.
that's like a really good sign, you know, that you're obviously in the right field. And if you can make a living doing something like what we do, like honestly, we have the easiest jobs in the whole world. Like we get to hang out with our friends, you know, most likely get paid to travel and to attend races and stuff that fans have to sit behind us. And we kind of get a front row seat for all this action and get to share it with a bunch of people who, you know, aren't fortunate enough to be there or who have a passion for it. So consider ourselves like really lucky.
What about you, Larry?
For me, I think it's the ability to tell a story.
Okay.
With my films, I always look to tell a story first, you know, visually, not too advanced yet, but, you know, I always like to tell a good story and hopefully make them laugh, you know. The videos on YouTube that have the most hits and are the most popular are usually the ones with the best stories, and usually the ones that make people laugh, so it's just one of those things that I strive for sure.
Definitely. Joshua, what about you?
I mean, pretty much it's just the fact that I can, what I see at an event, how I see through my eyes, I can kind of share with everybody else. And exactly like, you know, Larry and everybody else has said, you know, you get to tell a story and it's kind of like, you know, we're standing, you know, on the opposite side of a concrete barrier that's only, you know, 7 or 8 inches thick, and there's cars flying past us at like 60, 70 miles an hour sideways, and you know, we're getting blasted by tire chunks and smoke and all that stuff, and it's like, I've
right.
never been around anything else that's been as exciting as that is, to just be around it in general, even if you, you know, you're not filming a specific run, just standing there and watching is like the coolest thing ever. So it's like, it's really a really cool feeling to be at the track, and then to be able to go back home and make a story out of it, and to show people how you perceive the entire event.
Interesting. Lindbergh, you?
Hey,
Lindbergh,
yo, okay, I'm here. Actually, I don't shoot any videos, so I'm not sure if I have any input in this, but I like videos, and these guys are really good at it, so I'll let them talk instead.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, for you as somebody that no doubt watches a lot of video, what do you enjoy seeing? What do you like to see?
I just really stylize pieces of work. I'm a person that, as a photographer, I don't really capture the world as it is. I capture the world in a stylized view that I see it, more like it's kind of Lindbergh's fantasy that you see rather than what's actually going on in the world, because it's just how you form the area and everything. So videos I like to see the same. I like to see just how someone would tell a story differently or how they see the world differently, and from there I just, if it's the video is good, and it's good. So
okay, No, I definitely appreciate that. I love the videos, especially when it's sort of a nice recap video of, you know, a particular event. Because I mean, you don't. I mean, we're talking, you know, probably 8+ hours of, you know, of an event, trying to condense it down into something that's bite sized. Justin, how do you sort of make the call on some of that content to try and really crunch it down and really capture the event?
That's a really good question, actually. A lot of people, like a lot of drivers or spectators or industry people, you know, they'll be like, you know, like, why wasn't my car in there? Like, why wasn't I in your video? You know, jokingly, and, you know, they're nice about it, but I always answer, what goes into a video depends on so much. You know, if we shoot for an entire weekend plus a practice day, that's many, many gigabytes of footage. And
right.
So when I'm going through it, you know, it depends on not only how the surroundings look, like how I set up the shot and how the lighting is and everything, but how well I performed as a, you know, as a camera operator, but also very much how well the drivers are performing. So you may put down a good run, but you know, the whole run may have been like a 100, but if the guy after you, you know, ripped his wing off on the wall and kept going, like, I'm going to use that. And so
right,
that's
right.
Kind of for people to swallow sometimes, I think, but it's like, I'm trying to make this as impactful as I can. I'm trying to make this as exciting or dramatic or fun, you know, whatever the look is that I'm going for. And so it's really time consuming to crunch it down that short, but it's really not that difficult, because when you see something that amazes you, you want to use it, you know. And if I shot this well and the driver did something amazing and the lighting was perfect, like, I'm going to use it. So.
All right. Will, what about you?
I don't know. I was kind of thinking about this one, too. I think it was interesting what Lindbergh brought up about how he doesn't shoot video at all, but it's interesting. Like, there's a lot of people within this group that start off, you know, shooting stills and then transition to, you know, shooting video. But I think that there's, like, such a larger thing. And, like, as I've continued in, like, my career within filmmaking, it's become more and more focused down to where I think if you're a creative person, you can approach any kind of situation, really, and direct creativity. I think that there's something that comes with trying to be able to make your vision happen and not being afraid of telling people what to do to get the images and the results that you want. That is something that's kind of universal across what we do as photographers and filmmakers as well. So I think what's kind of cool is that, you know, where Lindbergh might say, you know, I have no experience doing filmmaking, he definitely has the capability to jump in and be a good director, in my opinion. Whereas someone like Larry and, you know, Josh and Joe and Justin, you know, they all possess those capabilities and skills because they've all wanted to create an image and had a passion to create something and share it with other people. The only way you can make that happen is by through direction and, you know, trying to get the things that you want.
Yeah, I guess for me it's always been about sort of, you know, if a video can really capture some of the action and also some of the behind-the-scenes parts that have the drivers and everything else, and sort of catch them, you know, interacting with the spectators and everything else. Like, that's some of the stuff that I want to see as well. Larry, what do you want as far as filmmaking goes, and what do you like to see?
Well, what I like to see?
Well, what do you like to see, but also how do you crunch down all that data from a weekend at an event?
What I like to see is something that grabs your attention right away, just kind of like a Super Bowl commercial, you know. They're limited to a certain amount of time, a minute or so. They have to keep you interested for the whole time. And
right.
That's definitely what I like to see every single time. If I'm watching a video and it seriously takes 3 seconds to get into the video, I close it immediately. I don't watch it because it didn't grab my attention in 3 seconds. You know, so and then when I'm shooting a video, I go into shooting it with a clear vision and a clear mind on how it's going to be edited already, because I want to just pick those shots. I want to shoot as little as possible save time and then just search out for those shots, pick those shots, and then that way it's ready to edit right away.
Interesting, interesting. Joe, what about you?
Really a lot of what Justin said is pretty much what I have to say too. We talk about it a lot. Like we talk about it all the time. mostly like, you know, like say it goes along with like talking to people why they're asking if they're not in a video or something. And, you know, they can have like the best run in the world, like blowing people's minds away, and, you know, you can shoot it completely wrong or miss it or shaky camera or out of frame or whatever. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into why we're not picking clips and why we are picking clips into our videos and cuts and stuff. And what Larry says too is also how I feel. We want to keep our viewers as interested as possible and make as big of an impact on them as we can, just to keep them, you know, watching what we have to give.
Interesting. Interesting. Joshua, what do you got to say?
I mean, everybody else pretty much said, you know, the gist of it pretty much. I think, you know, capturing like the, I mean, drifting isn't really like any other motorsport I've ever been around or anything like that. I mean, then again, I haven't really filmed a whole lot of other motorsports, but as far as, you know, I've done like Time Attack and shot the Long Beach Grand Prix 1 year and, you know, Pikes Peak and stuff like that. But drifting is nothing like anything else as far as, you know, the camaraderie and the friendship and all that stuff. So it's, you know, even when we're in the media pits, we're just maniacs. And I'm sure the people up in the grandstands can see us, and Joe and Justin doing handstands and, you know, crazy stuff down in the media pit. So it's all like, to me, it's just all about capturing, you know, the fun times and, you know, showing everybody else how much fun we've had, you know, filming it and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, along the lines of what Joe and Justin have said about picking what you're going to put in the video and all that stuff, you know, it's that's like one of the hardest things, especially like if you have a good friend that, you know, threw down a killer run, but you screwed up on the shot, then, you know, it's you have to make that call. And it's always a bummer when, you know, and somebody's like, oh, why wasn't I in the video or, you know, anything like that. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's just the joy of making a video that shows how much fun everything is, pretty much.
Very cool. So this is sort of off filmmaking photography. My biggest question for you guys is, you know, what kind of cars do you guys drive? I mean, you guys are around some of the hotness that's out there, and, you know, some of you guys get to shoot some of the most beautiful cars that are out there. What's in your garage? We'll start with you, Lindbergh.
I currently drive a beige E30 with some bronze wheels on it, and they look stupid because they're like hella flush and stuff like that. But I drive it every day. I haven't done any motorsports or anything with it, but I drive it every day, and I spark freeways, and I have an oil pan, and it saves my life like every single day. So yeah, I drive one of those.
Hey, I love the E30, man. No doubt, no doubt. What about you, Joshua? What you got?
I still actually have my first car I've ever owned, which was, it's a 96 Nissan 240SX. I've had it since pretty much the beginning of 2005. I picked it up single owner from an old lady, and it was automatic, and it did all the 5-speed swap, all the dip, coilovers, all that stuff, and then it pretty much just drove it. I mean, the motor is still stock. It has like almost 200,000 miles on it and still going strong.
Wow.
And then recently I picked up a GS300 as a daily because I was just tired of driving my 240 around. So that hopefully will be my next project car that I get to work on, but that's going to be so much money I don't even really want to think about it right now or even go for it at this point.
I'm a really big fan of the GS300, so I'll be rooting for you, no doubt.
Thanks, man.
Definitely. Hey, dude, definitely go for that. That's like my favorite is the 99. That's like my.
That's the year I had. That's the same year I got. So I want to do a big single turbo 2J and BN Sports body kit, all that good stuff. So hopefully I can pull it all off at some point.
Oh, you know, there's definitely tons of options for that particular car. What about you, Joe? What you rocking?
I got a Nissan S13 240SX hatch. it's just, you know, what everyone else has, really. Nothing too special about it. I don't know. I picked it up, like, around, like, about a year after, well, I don't want to say after Justin got his, but, yeah, Justin has that, too. if I go into it too deeply, we're going to just talk about Justin's car. it's really the exact same thing as his, just a coupe, or just a hat.
It's the exact same thing? So you're going for the one JZ as well? Is that what you're saying?
No, well, no, he's got the one JZ. I have SR, but, like, as far as appearance goes, it's the exact same thing.
Okay. Right, well, you know. Hey, you know, sometimes I'm sure you guys will diverge at some point, and hopefully there won't be any drifting
never.
Battles of. So you guys just shooting for the two for one discount or buy one get 150% off sort of thing.
Yeah,
I mean, if it works, it works. I mean, I'm not mad at you. You know, that's definitely one way to go about it. What about you, Larry? What you got?
For a daily driver, I just have a boring pickup truck. But for my race car, I have a 1970 Datsun S30 240Z. It's number 2,868 off the production line, so it's really early. And it's actually, I just took out the L motor from it, and I'm dropping in Chris Leikup's SR20 from his S14. I don't know if you remember, he here at Long Beach last year, but he sold his car and I got that motor, so that's getting dropped into it currently, so hopefully I'll hit the streets pretty soon with that.
Well, I have inside information on your car. I've been talking to David. He's like, oh, you know, I've seen some pictures, everything looks dope, man. I really look forward to seeing that S30 on the street. That's gonna be very very awesome. A lot of recommendations. Is there any opportunity for you to possibly switch to a landline, or is there any way to amp you up on your side?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm in a parking lot in a mall.
Interesting. Well, at least you're not doing donuts or anything, so I guess that's cool. Will, what you got in the garage, boss? Everybody's been talking about something, but I need to confirm it through you.
What do I have in a garage? Well, it's like mostly street parking because I have too many cars right now. I need to deplete my shit fleet of cars. I have like four cars right now. I have a 97 Outback wagon that's totally rusted that I got in Ohio when I used to live there. And I like to slide that thing around on snow. I have my 74 Volkswagen Westfalia camper van still that Josh and I use for keep drifting fun. And then I also have an 85 Porsche 911 with zero spec. And I have a 95 240SX KA turbo.
Okay, all right. And Justin, the man of the last on the list here. We talked a little bit about it before we started the show, but go ahead and give us the details, man.
All right. I've got a piece of junk Nissan 240SX 92. It was really nice when I bought it, but then I messed it up a bunch. I've had it since late 07 and just really, really, really slowly built it because never really had very much money. And since I've been working with these guys and getting gigs lately, I've been trying to, you know, put some money into it because I've been rocking the stock KA, you know, since early 08, drifting it, you know, 6-7 events every year, and it's getting pretty tired. And so it's, you know, it's on coils, it's got a two-way, just put some stupid big wheels on it, but they're only 17, so I guess they're not that big anyway.
Yeah, 17s compared to 15s, right?
Well, 17 10 and a half all around, so it's kind of an issue sometimes, but it's fun. It looks retarded, and it gets a lot of funny looks driving down the street.
Justin, what level of flush are you?
Oh, I'm just above Hella. It's this new
just
thing I'm working on.
Hella.
I haven't decided a name for it.
Interesting. I, well, I, you know, You know, here's the question. I'm just going to toss it out, and I'll let you guys just go for it. Since you brought it up, the whole stance craze, I mean, it's so controversial. Lots of people love it or hate it or somewhere stuck in the middle. Just jump out it and tell me how you guys feel about it. It doesn't matter who goes first at this point. Well, you can go first.
Stance. Just dance.
Lindbergh, how about you, man? What do you think?
Well, I guess stance is a very visual sort of trend. It's very controversial, but it's a visual. A lot of people understand it's a visual thing. Like back in the 90s, people came out, like big car companies were coming out with concept cars, and everything was just flush, and there was no wheel gap or anything. And I guess from there, just people took that concept and made it into a street car. And it's hard for that to function, but it looks damn good. So, I mean, that's all you have to really understand is it sucks on the street. It sucks anywhere other than standing still, but it looks damn good at the same time. So it's like the controversy is completely understandable. There's people that love performance. There's people that love being on the track, and that's for them. But sometimes there's a thing that you just like sparking everywhere, and you just like meeting up with friends and see who has more stance, and then just take photos of your car and enjoy it. Like, everyone enjoys cars differently, and stance is one way of doing it. It's not the end-all, be-all, but it's just one way of doing it.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to chime in on that?
I feel that, you know, a car should look a certain way. Like, I really don't like wheel gap. You know, when it comes to my car, I think that it should look a certain way. I like, you know, I hate the word stance, but I'm going to say it. No. But I think, like, you know, the car looks good, you know, sitting still, but it just doesn't look any better. For me, personally, when you see a car that has no wheel gap, that is, you know, has a good fitment, and that is going around a track, just ripping it, I think that looks better than anything else.
How about FJ Cruisers with a TE37s and big fat tires and giant wheel gap?
So good.
is that okay with you?
I actually don't.
Or hot rods without even any fenders. How do you stance the air? You know, you can't really like camber out the air. That's tough.
And you know, it's funny because I was wondering when we were going to get to hot rods, because I think hot rods have been doing the stance thing pretty much like forever. And I guess depending upon the particular, you know, style of hot rodding between, you know, the drag style gassers and that's a whole weird conversation. But, you know, the hot rod guys have been doing it forever and a day. Then, you know, the Euro guys got into it pretty heavy, and it sort of moved its way over to, you know, the Japanese import crowd. And I think they've kind of started taking it to a much deeper extreme. Would you guys agree to that?
Yeah. Can I jump in here?
Go for it.
I think, like Joe, I hate the word stance. It's overused by fanboys across the globe.
Like us.
Yeah, like us. but basically, in my opinion, stance means for something to be low and wide. So whether it has fenders or not, like, if it's low and wide, it looks good. That's kind of a universal thing. Like, look at, you know, supercars. They're made that way for a reason, and it looks good.
Right.
Can I chime in on a counter argument that, because I believe stance is not so much about low and wide, it's just about presence. It doesn't matter if it's low and wide, as long as it has some sort of presence, then it has stance. Like, you could talk about a gasser.
True.
Has really
True.
Good stance. So,
yeah.
And you could talk, like, race cars have really good stances, but then, like I said, you can have an FJ Cruiser with TE37s and really big tires. That has a really good stance as well. So it's, yeah.
You just opened my mind, Lindbergh. Thank you for that. But I wanted to say real quick, the thing that most, like hardcore, like motorsports enthusiasts complain about is, like, well, that's not functional. And what a lot of people need to understand is, like Lindbergh was saying, not everybody wants their car to be functional. Like, I love driving down the freeway and just throwing sparks everywhere. It's fun.
But at the same time, like, Joe and I will go down to, you know, Thunderhill Raceway, and we'll track our cars all day, and we'll drag frame every time we dirt drop, and it's awesome. Like, they still perform up to our standards anyway. Like, we may not be fast, but we're having fun, you know? And that's what motorsports are about to me, is having fun.
Yeah.
I definitely agree, and I definitely see, like, for me, like, the whole stance thing is sort of like, it is what it is, just purely stance. Like, if you see a woman just standing there looking pretty hot, that's a stance. You know, the Catwoman stance, whatever you want to call it, stance is a stance. I mean, it is, like you said, a presence. So, you know, some vehicles will display a certain stance, and some will attempt at that particular stance, and some do it well, some don't, and, you know, some, it really, it enhances the car's lines and really uses the ground as a whole other line for the vehicle to really make it look long and lean, as opposed to if it was back up at the stock ride height, it would sort of look strange. You know, that's, the stance is such an interesting thing. I mean, the flush, the suspension, do you guys like the whole air ride versus static? Do you guys have a particular stance on that? I don't mean to keep saying stance, but you know what I'm saying.
I really like your stance on the question on the chat. You should answer that.
Okay, here's a question from one of the most famous people in the chat room here, Mr. Jared DeAnda. He wants to know, what is the best event you guys have ever captured? We'll start with you, Justin.
Oh, God. that is the hardest question.
Can I take this from you, Sharif?
No.
Yes.
I think the best event we've ever captured, and I think collectively all of us can say this because we're all there at the same time, is we did Pikes Peak this past year. And it was all of us for a week up in Colorado Springs. And for all of us collectively in this chat room to be in the same place was definitely, and just the event, what it was definitely the coolest thing. And you guys can chime in and let me know what you think about that.
Definitely. It's literally the greatest challenge that you could have as any sort of art form that you're interested in. It could be video, it could be photo, you could be out there sketching, whatever. But, like, just being up there at 60% oxygen than you normally would have, and you're just, like, heaving everywhere and you're farting everywhere because the pressure in the air, you can't help it. And you're peeing everywhere because the same thing, the pressure in the air is different, and you're just farting and peeing. And you're out there with all these race cars, and it's like, it's just amazing. You can't breathe, but then it's one of the most beautiful environments you ever be in. It's the most breathtaking environments you can ever be in, and all that captured on top of just race cars that look so cool, and it just that.
Oops, I think we might have lost him.
Oh no! I just want to chime in and say that Limburg has probably the worst farts I've ever had the misfortune to be around. So,
yeah,
I agree with that.
Pike's Peak was pretty intense at some point.
he's lactose, but yet he still loves dairy.
Yeah.
What about you, Larry?
I'd have to agree. There's nothing like taking a nap right next to the racetrack at 4, 5 a.m. in the morning, and then waking up to just crazy cars sliding next to you. Something about that.
Wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then be up the mountain by like 3:30 because they close the road by 5. So that's the parameters you're working with, and then you're done off the mountain by 9:10 in the morning. So you have a whole day to mess around. But that's the parameters you're looking at when you're trying to capture an event like that.
How do you pick a spot on that mountain? I mean, that's. There's so many turns. I mean, how do you choose? I mean, I don't know. You tell me, guys.
For both times that I've been to Pikes Peak, something that I like to do is start at the start line and just kind of walk just as far as I can make it through the practice session. And the first year I did, I made it like 4 miles, which was like the most intense thing ever, like at however many thousand foot altitude that is. But, I mean, it's just kind of you walk, you wait till the car passes, just walk, and then shoot. At least that's what I do. But then you can also, you know, scope out the entire mountain, and some corners look amazing. You know, you just look down, and you can see just a road dipping into the mountain and then coming back out and exposing itself, and then there's a cliff on the one side. So, I mean, picking spots at Pikes Peak is, like, there's so many different spots that just, and you can shoot each corner so many different ways, too, that is just amazing.
I think we had another couple of good questions going on in the chat room. We should move on.
Yeah, go for it. There was one about a favorite track to shoot at.
Let's just run through it, guys. Sharif, what was your favorite track to shoot at so far?
Jersey. Mm-hmm. FC Jersey.
Yeah, is that yes also, Joe?
Yeah, Jersey, definitely.
I actually love Jersey also.
Yeah, Jersey is definitely the best. Well, yeah, Jersey, for sure.
Really? Interesting. What about you, Larry?
I like Royal Atlanta.
You know, I'm actually... I'm working on trying to get down to Royal Atlanta. Everybody's talking about how awesome it is. What makes Royal Atlanta so awesome?
I like the fact that it's pretty much open and you can shoot anywhere. And also, what's cool is you can actually stand on the track. Well, for a select few of us, we can actually stand on the track. But, yeah, even if you don't have a media pass, you can get a nice shot anywhere around the whole track.
Interesting.
I agree with that with Larry. Like, I think ATL is, like, a good track because the fans are so awesome. You're really close. The fence line to where the wall is means that everybody's relatively close to the track. But to me, like, wall is amazing just because the weather in Jersey, like in the summer, is always super unpredictable. It can rain. You can eat Wawa before you go to the track and you drink Wawa tea. And then, like, the bowl itself is just in such a hard transition that, like, you're close everywhere and it's, like, the most visual, you know, FD track of all of them.
Interesting. I have a question about that. Go ahead.
Of shooting, I have to say Mossport in Canada would be my favorite track. It's in the middle of nowhere, probably about, I believe, 2 hours north of Toronto. And it's super, super, it's the fastest ALMS course on the calendar, and the car's just
right.
Flying by. And it's really hilly, and it's really green, and I think it's one of the most beautiful tracks I've ever shot at. So that's my take on things.
Actually, there's one more track that, it's only happened once, but it's not so much the track itself, but it was the environment that we all were surrounded by, I mean, and that was the Red Bull Drifting World Championships in Long Beach because of the fires that were going on in L.A., and it was, you know, raining ash and all that and the craziest colors, and it was, that left, like, a really cool, just watching it, it had a really cool look to it, so that was also another track that's, like, always going to stay as one of my favorites.
I agree.
I was going to ask you guys, how do you guys manage getting the rubber thrown at you at a drifting event? I mean, do you just have to try and position yourself in such a way that you can quickly turn away? I mean, how do you guys manage that?
You just take it. Take it like a man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Take it right in the face.
Take it right in the face.
Take it in the face.
So hard.
Well, I guess mainly because, like, I mean, you guys have some very expensive gear, and I wonder if, you know, do you guys have to apply something to the lens to make sure, you know, it doesn't stick or crack or anything? I mean, how do you guys manage that? I mean, it seems pretty hairy.
Yeah, we use filters to protect the glass itself. But I mean, a lot of the times when I'm shooting, like on the wall at Long Beach, you know, where they flick right at that outer flipping zone, you know, I've got my camera hanging out of the fence, and like I'm not pulling it back for anything. Like, if the car hits there, it sucks. But I'm, you know, it's like it's just part of the job, and I think I don't know if I'm the only one who feels this way, but I love it. Like, I love getting rubber chunks thrown at me and like breathing in smoke all day. And just the whole atmosphere, like, you go to the hotel after a day and like take a shower, and there's just like your hair is just full of rubber chunks, and like it's in your tear ducts and like filling your ears, and like all of your clothes are full of just dirt and rubber, and like, I don't know, I think it's awesome.
Anybody else?
Just me? Fine.
Yeah, go for it. Okay. All right, yeah, all right, that works. There was a related question. Who has broken the most cameras or gear?
I think I have. Yeah.
I think Lindbergh.
Lindbergh.
In China, I was climbing to get to a vantage point, and then my strap let go, my camera strap, and my camera dropped about 20 feet. So lens broke, camera broke, and I've broken so many cameras over time. I've had cameras get splashed with ocean water, and then it has stopped working, and then I've had times where I've just, I don't really care about the state of my camera. I care about the state of my shot. So as long as my camera is working condition to make that shot, that's all that matters. Babying the camera doesn't really matter to me. So, and I've broken everything.
Interesting. There was a question from Jared that I'm looking for.
Was it who inspires us?
Yeah, there you go. That's what it is. Justin, you want to go first?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Who inspires you?
Will Rogge.
Will Rogge? Will Rogge, who inspires you?
I get inspired a lot by Lindbergh, and I'm pretty much all these guys in this group. Like when we do put out other things, like it's mutual inspiration. But I think there's like larger people too. Like I watch a lot of film, and like I was kind of like people that had the same kind of career path. Like I like Spike Jonze a lot, and like Michel Gondry.
Getting all artsy.
Yeah, I mean all these guys are awesome too, but I've taken inspiration from a lot of abstract expressionists like Mark Rothko and Jasper Johns, and I really like that visual style of just that 50s area abstract expressionism, and I try to bring that somehow into my photography. So I basically like uniformity, but also like that looseness that say a Jackson Pollock has. But so it just everywhere it comes in, and I get it from there. I'm more of a still artist. I bring that in with the fine art stuff. So that's me.
Anybody else want to chime in?
I will chime in then. I saw Jared actually just posted Spike Jonze, and he's like, I mean, obviously everybody in here with us right now, that you know, they're all, you know, huge inspirations to me, and pretty much anybody that does videos or takes pictures, you know, I always look at everybody's stuff and take inspiration from that. But the one guy that I've always looked up to more than anything has always been Spike Jonze, because he's like, the way I see it, you know, he went from skateboard videos to, you know, making music videos to doing feature films, and that's like something I kind of, you know, have like a dream to kind of follow as well.
Hey Larry, what about you?
I think I can speak for Lindbergh when we actually get inspired by this Japanese guy, and we don't even know his name, but I think Lindbergh can post the link to his work. I'm not at a computer, but he takes photography to a whole new level. It's pretty crazy.
Like what singles him out for you?
I guess the way he uses light and the way he waits for the perfect moment. With motorsports, it's really hard to plan a lot of things. And then this guy just does it on the fly. And I think he just has this, I guess this style. I guess this guy's hobby is shooting airplanes during the off season or whatever. But, it's pretty crazy. I don't know. Lindbergh can post the link and then you guys can check it out.
In other news, Joe's chewing on his toenails right now.
Lindbergh, is that the link you were talking about? That Larry's talking about?
I sent it. Yep.
Okay. If everybody's looking for it, it is the let's see, thesports.exblog.jp. So if you're listening to this right now, sort of through iTunes or whatever, definitely go over there and check it out. I'm looking it up as we speak. Who hasn't had a chance to chime in on that?
Joe.
Joe, go for it.
On the Who Inspired Me?
Yes.
I think I'm kind of with Lindbergh on the 50s photographers. Like, one of my biggest inspirations for, you know, since, shoot, middle school is this guy, Henri Cartier-Bresson, who just shot, like, I think the most fantastic just lifestyle stuff. And I try to, you know, bring that into shooting, like, when I'm shooting just sort of candid stuff around the track. And I don't know, like, let's see, who else? I just think, I don't know, everybody else, like Larry and Lindbergh, like everything that they do is just, you know, just pushes me to want to be better, you know, and as a photo dude, and when it comes to video, like Hobo and Will and Justin, like everything they do is just outstanding. So it just, it really pushes me to want to be better.
Well, I think I think we've covered a lot of interesting topics this particular episode, and I really think that let me see if there's any other questions in the chat room here. There's a question for Larry. How does he get those awesome fence shots? Do you just stand there all day?
What shots?
Fence shots. That's from David.
Yeah, you shots, Larry. Fence?
Yes, fence, like chain link.
Oh. that's actually a inside joke. I always say that I hate people who incorporate the chain link fence in their shot or video or any type of media, because I feel like the reason why we're there is we kind of omit that. You know, we show people what it's like if the fence wasn't there. But a lot of people like to use the fence, and I just hate that.
Well, there you go. Larry does not like the fence. who's your favorite? Let's see, who posted this question here? There's a question about your favorite drivers or drifters to work with and why. Will Roki, you are up first.
This is a good one. It kind of goes back. Like, I've worked with quite a few people, like starting back with like Reese pretty early on, and then like JR and Forsberg. I like working with all those guys. I've actually used JR and Forsberg for stunt driving for some like more commercial type promo spots this past year, and being able to work with both those guys like outside of Formula Drift was really cool. Both JR and Reese both have a really strong vision for what they want when they're making projects that they're involved with. So that's really cool to work with them. And it's really good, like, to be able to go back and forth with those guys, because they have such a good understanding of car control that you can kind of explain things like, yeah, you're going to be in, you know, second or third gear here, and then throw it in, and you can kind of talk through what you want the car to be doing, so it translates to what you want visually, you know, for a video. So I would say definitely Forsberg, Vaughan Jr., Reese Millen, our three drivers I really like working with a lot.
Lindbergh, same question to you.
I got this whole thing, and I came into this the whole photography and then motorsport thing. I started at a grassroots level. There was an article 2 years ago I did for Speed Hunters about Matt Powers, and since it was in 2009, his car was green, his car was stupid low, and things like that. Before, he just really learned how to make a professional drift car. And from there, I've actually just really enjoyed working with him and seeing become a professional driver rather than that guy that just goes to events. He's been really easy to work with. It helps that he's really photogenic and sexy, and he has, like, that smile and stuff like that. And and the thing that I had to teach him over time, and then Larry's attested to this, and maybe Will as well, is that we had to teach him how to not mind the camera. Like, it's not there, and because that's when it produces the best shots, is when the person we're covering doesn't really know we're there. Because they're just acting naturally, and they're in an environment, and they, yeah. So for me, it's in Matt.
Joshua, what about you?
I'd say, I mean, I've done a lot of stuff with the DA guys, you know, Tony and Turk with the missile days, and you know, I've shot stuff with JR, with the skate car, like at, here in Vegas with the demo. And, you know, I've done, in 2010, Will and I filmed Forsberg all year. And so all the DA guys, and, you know, I see June in the chat too. I haven't forgotten about you, dude. You're awesome as well. You're the nicest guy in the world. But I mean, all the DA guys, and, you know, Reese was always really good to work with, just because, you know, he has a very good sense on commercial stuff, and the way he does everything, and he sees everything, you know, it's always in basically like a storyboard sense. He can tell you, you know, I have an idea for this whole project, you know, this is this, and then you can bounce ideas off of him and go from there. And then, you know, I mean, pretty much every driver that I've worked with, I mean, they've always been really awesome and really cool to work with. So,
Joe, what about you?
For me, it would probably be the whole Team Yellow dudes from Norway. They were really easy to work with, and just fun people to be around. They really let us, me and Justin, do our own thing. You know, be our own. You know, create. You know, use just our own creativity to make the video that they wanted for us, and just said, hey, come out here. You know, film for us, do what you guys do, and you guys can have fun, drive our cars, and just, you know, it was just like an awesome experience. Those dudes are awesome. I love them.
Let's see. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, definitely Team Yellow's top of the list. They were really, really hospitable to us, and that's the kind of thing for me, that's the kind of thing for me that sets a driver or a team apart, is not necessarily how well they can take instruction. Like, that's very important, don't get me wrong, but when someone is hospitable to me and wants to help me do my job better, and you know, like the Cottos, Ryan Cotto and his family, you know, the Forsbergs have been very kind to us. It's the kind of stuff like that makes you feel like, because Formula Drift has always been almost kind of a family atmosphere. Like, so many of us are good friends, and we hang out after the events, before the events, you know, completely away from the events. And so for someone to take me into their home, or, you know, to give me a place to stay, or to help me out in any way, like, that's, I don't know, that's the best.
What about
and,
you,
Larry? Oh, wait, one more. I can't believe I forgot this guy. I was going to mention him, but then it's spaced. I don't know that I could say favorite. Okay, my favorite person in FD is June May. He is the most kind person I've ever met. He is always ready to go out of his way to help someone out, and it just blows my mind. Like, every time I'm at FD, he's trying to give me sandwiches, he's trying to give me water, he's giving me hugs and high fives, like, he's hanging out with me. Like, I'm like, dude, go work on your car. Like, he's just the nicest dude. He's just the nicest dude ever. And I'm sure that everyone in this room can attest to that.
June and being friendly.
We love you.
Yeah, mad shout outs to June. He's in the chat room, so shout outs to June. Aww. Man. Larry, what about you, man? Who's your favorite guy to work with? Driver, drifter, not necessarily a guy or girl.
Well, the most fun guys to work with are the unsponsored guys, because they'll do whatever the hell I want them to do.
Okay.
Stuff on camera for me, and that's what I like. That's what makes people laugh. No, but seriously, I like working with pretty much all the pro guys. Whoever is okay with me sticking my camera like 1 inch away from their face, you know, that's pretty much it.
There was another question about other motorsports you guys are into. Joe, is there any other motorsports you're into besides drifting? Anything you want to go check out?
I really like to go shoot some Le Mans stuff. I was talking with my friend Ryan Davis, and he really wants to get me and Shreve into that. I want to go down to the Laguna Seca sometime this summer and shoot that. That'd be awesome. Looks so much fun.
Definitely. What about you, Larry? Any other motorsports you're going to get into?
You mean like
drawing personally,
or just take pictures of them? Or?
Well, both. I mean, you know, to drive and to shoot.
Yeah, I pretty much like doing anything. The one thing I haven't done is drag race or rally, so I want to try pretty much everything, and you know, just for fun. And in terms of shooting, I like pretty much shooting everything in any kind of event. I just kind of want to experience as much as I can, I guess, before I can't carry my camera anymore.
Joshua, what about you?
I mean, I've always had a huge passion for, well, it kind of just started coming about, like, after drifting and all that. But as far as shooting, I would love to shoot some WRC stuff. I've always, you know, I always find myself looking at Group E rally videos back from the 80s and stuff like that. And like, I've always had another dream to drive an open wheel car around a track, even if it's, you know, I'm going like 5 miles an hour. It's just the fact I just want to drive an open wheel car. It's just like the coolest thing to me. That's like the closest you can be to driving nothing, basically. You know, I mean, but you're also driving the most ridiculous car ever.
Right. Lindbergh, what about you?
The one motorsport that I'm into outside of drifting, it would have to be NASCAR. I think it's the most exciting, like, motorsport out there. As a spectator, it's exciting. It's like you see people crash all the time, and it's super fun to watch in person. Actually, it's the best sport to see in person. I've been to Sebring, 12-hour Sebring. I've been to the 10-hour Petit Le Mans. Awesome events, but they're definitely not as exciting as a NASCAR event. You're there out there, you're getting drunk, and you see these cars go around the circle, and it's just exciting. The drama that unfolds on track in front of your eyes is just phenomenal. For example, when I was at 2 years ago, I was in Charlotte for the All-Star race. I saw Kyle Busch was up against someone else, and he got pit maneuvered, and he basically crashed out of the race. He rolled his car back into the pit, and it was completely in flames at that point. Got out of the car, walked over to the person that pit maneuvered him, and stood there the whole race until he came back and socked him in the face. So that doesn't happen in drifting. And that's exciting, that's entertaining. And so, yeah, if there's anything else in the world, it has to be NASCAR because it's just amazing.
I honestly can't comment too much on NASCAR. It's a very interesting sport. I'm actually more interested in the guys in the pit. Those guys are amazing. The things that they do is beyond me. And the speed and accuracy that they apply is very, very fascinating. Will Rogie, what about you?
The jet fuel fire was the most exciting thing ever.
I still haven't watched that video.
I think for me, other motorsports, I was fortunate enough to be able to go to shoot at Tim O'Neill Rally School and Dirtfish Rally School this past year, and to be both sides of the country at different rally programs was sweet. Tim's, we did some winter rally stuff, and at Dirtfish, it was kind of, you know, typical Washington rain, a lot of mud and gravel. So I definitely want to go back to both of those because I feel like rally is definitely the root of all car control, and if you can hang it out there around some trees and on roads that shouldn't be driven on fast, then you can pretty much do anything. So I would love to go to a rally school. And I think somebody asked a really good question earlier about what came first, whether it was the love of shooting motorsports or like a love of motorsports and driving first. And for me, it was definitely driving first. Like I still love driving more than anything. Like I think I've crisscrossed the country probably 4 times last year, like coast to coast. And I just love driving, whether it's like long distance kind of driving or illegal driving, or, you know, I've drag raced a few times and would love to road race and love to get my 14 done so I can go do some drift events too.
Well, let's apply that question to everybody else. Justin, what about you? Which came first, chicken or the egg?
I've always loved cars. My dad loves to tell me all the time that my first gift as a, you know, as a newborn was a bunch of Hot Wheels. Cars have been a passion of mine my entire life. And as I was, you know, an adolescent, I couldn't drive cars. I was fascinated by skateboarding and things, and still cars were in the back of my mind. And then as shooting came into my life, the car thing kind of worked its way back in as I was getting older. And, yeah, so kind of both.
Larry, what about you?
Definitely driving. I had my incidents in the canyons before. And, you know, I took it to the track and realized that I suck at that, and I still suck. But I improved in photography, so that's what I stuck with. But, you know, it's still fun. I like driving. I like going on the track. And hopefully when all our cars are done, we can do a big media day bash at the track.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. What about you, Joe?
I don't know. I like driving.
Driving got you there first?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, okay. Joshua, what about you?
I totally spaced out, and I didn't even hear the question on this one. I'm sorry, my dog was barking. Could you, what was the question again?
Which did you like first, cars, motorsports, or did you like photography first and then get into cars?
Cars, definitely, they came first. When I was in middle school, me and my brother and I used to race BMX, and we used to ride around in our neighborhood and, you know, travel a few miles down the road, and we had this buddy that we had met. We just were riding down the street one day, and he had a BMX track, and we pulled over and started asking his mom if we could ride on it, and he ended up coming out, and he had a Honda Civic EF hatchback that he had pretty much fully built, and that pretty much started everything. And so the cars definitely came first, and then the video followed shortly after.
Interesting. What about you, Lindbergh?
Oh, I got into cars before photography, and yeah, so racing and everything wasn't really any of my passion. I've always loved art and things like that, and yeah, it's just cars first and then photography. And driving wasn't really on my spectrum at all. I just enjoyed the community of the car community. There is just, you know, it's a natural progression as an artist and as a person that's into cars, just to meld the two together.
Interesting. And I think we have a really good question here, and we might have to close up on this one. If you guys feel the time, we can go a little bit longer. The question is, the Gymkhana Ken Block videos, what's your guys' take on it, and its effect on automotive videos? We'll start with Joshua.
I mean, I definitely appreciate everything that he's done as far as his videos and stuff. If, you know, if I had my say in it, I would have, you know, called it quits after the first one, just because I feel like, you know, that the first one was so amazing. I feel like it's become kind of, you know, trying to top it is obviously, that's a tough thing to do from that first video, just because of how raw and how, you know, how new that was, and nobody had ever done anything like that ever before. So, I mean, I still watch every single one of them, and I love every single one of them that he's ever done. It's definitely, you know, some of the most high production automotive videos. And I feel like that is obviously, that's bringing a lot more motivation to the younger generation of, you know, photographers and filmers and stuff like that.
Interesting. Joe, what about you?
I love it, really. I like to poke fun at it a lot, but, you know, at the whole craze or whatever, but I think it's really good. You know, he's done a lot, and he really is, you know, talented as, you know, driver and as a businessman, and I just think it's, you know, what he's doing with the videos is just really cool and interesting, and it's definitely getting a lot of fan base into motorsports again. I feel like it kind of fell off for a while, but, you know, a lot of people are starting to get back into it now.
Larry, what about you?
I really like them. I was a big fan of them since the beginning, and Lindbergh and I actually shot for Ken
for the fourth one, and our photos actually end up in the actual video. So, I mean, even before that, you know, I was a really big fan of it. And dollar for dollar, I think it's definitely the best way to advertise right now.
You think so? Interesting. Interesting. Go deeper. Larry, you can go a little deeper on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, considering the views and considering how much it costs to shoot those, granted, you know, they got more expensive over the years, but he's also getting more views. And so it's, you know, hate it or like it, you know, people are watching it. And there's always a lot of hype around it. And it's only going to get bigger, I think, when the fifth one comes out, whatever. I don't know where he's going to do Gymkhana or whatever. Lindbergh and I were actually making fun of it. Like, he's going to go on the International Space Station next. He's going to Gymkhana around that thing.
It would be cool if we could get to the moon and take a lunar rover and go do some jumps and go do it on the moon. That'd be kind of sweet. Lindbergh, what about you?
There's always controversy around Ken Block and what he does. Like, he's a complete sellout, and he doesn't know how to drive, and he can't do everything in one take and things like that. And I see that, and I understand it. And a part of that grassroots side of me completely agrees that Ken Block, like, completely sold out, and he's doing everything wrong. But on the same token, he's also doing everything right, because he's getting paid to be a douchebag and with a car. And he's living his life out, and you can't really hate on a guy that lives his passion and gets paid to burn tires all day long. So, and the hatred and the controversy only adds to it. So, yeah.
Justin, what about you?
I think Lynn said it really well. I think the videos are great. Like, they're visually shocking. You know, like, they're fun to watch. Nobody can doubt that. I think that both the hatred and both the following are a bit comical. I think people get so riled up about it, but I think the fact that that's happening is, like Lynn said, like, it adds to it. So yeah.
Will, you get the last word on this one.
Oh man, I don't even know if I want to touch this one now. It's pretty deep already. There's like. There's so much, it's good to create the conversation. That's a good thing,
good,
you know. That's really good. So I think that the original was, like, the most raw driving-wise, but they're really entertaining. Like, anytime they ever come out, I'm really actually excited to watch it, love or hate it. And the reason I was asking about the impact is because, at least in terms of what I do, when a lot of, like, agencies and, you know, companies and stuff come to me and ask for things, you know, it's been a reference now for the past 3 years, so it's kind of hard to deny, you know, the presence that it's had, you know, within automotive video, because it's such a gateway for people, you know, one way or another to learn about rally, to learn about Gymkhana, to buy some DCs, you know, it works.
I agree. I think the first time I saw the videos, it sort of floored me. The first video floored me, and I think it sort of, it really made me go out and start looking for more and more video content, and I think that definitely lit a fire under a lot of other people who are out there making those films and say, you know, I think we got to step our game up a little bit and see what we can do, especially even on a limited budget. I think if you can get creative and still give that impact, you know, it's definitely something to do. And, you know, more people want to see video content. I mean, you know, stills are great and do a really great job. But, you know, people want to see video. And I know video is more time-consuming for you guys and requires a lot more resources. But ultimately, I think, you know, people are going to really go for the videos and see what you guys put out there. Let's see here. Is there any what do you guys have planned for this year? 2012 is going to be, it looks to be a pretty sizable year. Lots of great events. I think Pikes Peak is going to be fully paved this year. FD is going to be doing some awesome events. nice collaboration with Global Time Attack. Shout outs to GST Mike. He was in the chat room earlier. You know, what do you guys have going on this year? We'll start with you, Justin.
Hey, me again. I think most of what you just said is what I want to do, actually. I plan on trying to make it to all the FD events. You know, that's kind of a big priority for me. I definitely want to shoot pikes again, and it is paved. It's been paved for a while now, which is also a huge controversy, but I'm excited to do that. If, you know, if we can all go out to that again, it would be, you know, a dream come true all over again. What else? I plan on doing a lot of driving this year. I'm trying to drive like our local events in Medford, Oregon, the Drift Evolution series that we've been driving in and being a part of, you know, since early 08. Those are super fun, but I'm ready to, you know, step it up to some bigger, faster tracks, and especially with, you know, more power and soon more grip. I'm just really excited to go run into Joe on racetracks.
Lindbergh, what about you?
And definitely Pikes Peak, and then another one on my radar would be the Bonneville Speedway or Speed Week. That's just one of those events that really speaks to itself. It's photographically, it's almost impossible to take a bad photo there. This is how surreal it is, and how beautiful it is out there, and the white salt just makes everything awesome. Yeah, and then from there, you know, this is my usual editorial stuff that I'm doing, and then I'll attend a few FD events here and there, and yeah. 2012 is looking pretty fun.
Will Ruggie, what about you?
For 2012, I'm actually starting a new production company and really close to having commercial representation as a director, which is really sick. So hopefully stepping up and working on some bigger projects and getting some things that have a little bit more budget. I know with Keep Drifting Fun, Karen and I are trying to make it out to as many FD rounds as we can, and we're going to try to get back to making some of the stuff that we were making in 2009, 2010. We're trying to make an edit from each event and really trying to expand Keep Drifting Fun as a brand, you know, with more clothing to be able to help, you know, kind of pave the way for us to get out to more grassroots events and just more drift events, period, and just to release all that content for free.
Very, very cool. Joshua, what about you?
Yeah, pretty much what Will said, you know, trying to make it to all the FD events and stuff. And, you know, one of my favorite events that I've ever been to so far is East Coast Bash. And I definitely want to make it back out there again. You know, hanging out with all those guys is really awesome. And also this year, Midwest Bash up in Wisconsin at US Air. You know, I was living up in Chicago last year for about 9 months or so, and I became really good friends with all the Junk House guys. And, you know, the whole scene up in Chicago, like, there's a lot of controversy with that. With, you know, they drive slow or whatever, but I mean, at the end of the day, those guys just have fun. So, I mean, that's all that matters to me, is hanging out with dudes that like to have fun. So, I mean, any event, whatever it is, as long as it's, you know, a fun time and really cool to be there, I'm down with it.
Cool. Larry, what's up with you? What do you got going on this year?
I really want to go down Pike Peak on my bicycle.
Really?
I don't know. I just, since it's paved. No, I traveled a lot last year. I'm going to try to travel just as much. I traveled 150,000 miles, I think, something like that.
Whoa.
Hit as many miles as I can this year, try to hit as many events. And it should be good, build up a good portfolio. Still shooting for Speed Hunters, so I'm going to just push that.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, if you take your bike down Pikes Peak, man, make sure you got, like, at least four GoPros on you at the same time, all right? Because that would be a very awesome video.
It'll be covered.
Joe, what about you? What you got going on this year?
Definitely all the FD events, you know. Norway again, hopefully, you know, Pikes and China, but really, like Justin said, trying to get a lot more driving in. Plan to drive down to Thunderhill and hopefully up to a Pacific Grand Prix, and really excited for our local series, Drift Evolution. Like, we have a two-day event that I'm really excited for. So, you know, drive all day, you know, spend the night at the track and hang out with good friends and drink good beer, and do it again the next day. It's tons of fun, so I'm really excited for this year.
Well, very, very cool. And, you know, everybody, make sure you guys go to everybody's respective links. So if you have the opportunity, get a pen and pad right now, because this is sort of the quote-unquote media blitz, so make sure these guys can pay some bills. Lindbergh, Nguyen, you get first crack. Pay the bills, man. Any shout-outs, people, partners you want to represent here as we close out?
I'd like to thank 1speedhunters.com for an awesome year last year. I'd like to thank Will. I'd like to thank Larry and everyone for just always supporting me. I'd like to thank HRE Wheels for always just awesome wheels on my car, and as well as they always have me out there and, you know, taking pictures for them. So, yeah, those are my shout-outs.
Okay. All right. Joshua, you're up next.
You know, I'd like to definitely thank everybody in the call with us. You know, that everybody's been super awesome, and especially Will. You know, if it wasn't for him, he kind of gave me like that in to the doing this as a job, basically. You know, all the DA guys have been always really good to me. You know, Jared, I've, you know, crashed at his house plenty of times. I don't really know what else to say other than, you know, just
put your websites out there.
Fun and yeah, we're gonna release as much content for you, for all the, everybody for free. So check that out.
Very, very cool. Justin, what about you? What you got?
I'm so unprepared for this. I don't even know where to begin.
Websites. Everyone websites. In the, websites.
Websites. Vimeo.com/Todd. Tandemofdies.bigcartel.com. Buy some T-shirts. I need to pay rent. I don't know. I mean, basically everybody in this room has just, you know, taken me in and made me feel a part of like a media family, and, you know, helped me travel around the world. Larry for helping me go to China. You know, Team Yellow for getting me over to Norway. Like, I would have never thought, you know, I'd go to Norway, let alone twice in a year. Will for hooking me up with like super awesome gigs. Like, I shot a Cadillac commercial. Like, who would have thought I'd be shooting a Cadillac commercial? Like, I don't know. There's just way too many people to thank. I don't know where to begin. I already did begin, and now I'm repeating myself. Thank you all so much.
Very cool.
Thanks to everybody also in the chat room that took the time to listen to us. That's really rad.
Well, we'll definitely do this again. I think everybody had a good time, and maybe we'll break it up. We'll do like, we'll just keep the same format. I was going to break you guys up, but I think we had a good time tonight. Joe, websites, Twitter, everything.
Lifeblasters.com. Just way too many people for me to thank, like, you know, Team Yellow, you know, Ryan Cotto Racing, you know, Larry for getting us in China, and Will for Pikes, and just Njuku, you know, BG, I love that dude.
Yeah.
And just, there's way too many dudes. Like, I can listen go on and on and on. Thank you, everybody.
All right, well, you know, it's definitely worth it. Larry, what you got, man?
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone, too. You know, we're all friends, and we all work together, and it's really nice to be able to count on other people, footage or stills or whatever. So we pretty much cover each other's asses, which is kind of nice. And I'd definitely like to thank Speed Hunters, the guys there, Rod, Charles Kaw, Rico Kelly, and definitely Lindbergh. We pretty much went into it full on together, you know, helping each other out. He always helps me with my grammar. I'm not a very good writer, if you guys can't tell already. But, yeah, pretty much the boys, I guess, the group.
Well, let's see. Did I miss anybody? Mr. Rogi?
I want to thank you, Will, for having us on here and for hosting this program. I think it's rad to be able to have something for, you know, race fans and everybody to get on and, like, have a program where everyone can chat and talk and stuff, and for all the people that tune into this, like, regularly. Yeah, thanks for having us.
No doubt. Make sure everybody goes to check out the keepdriftingfun.bigcartel.com. That's the official store, so... I'm looking at a KDF or else T-shirt that I might be copping. when this show goes off. So everybody, definitely go check these guys out. Check out their Twitters, check out their Facebooks, check out any swag that they're pimping. Make sure you guys go check it out. You know, I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. It really means a lot to me because I love what you guys are doing. And I hope that this year I'll be able to at least kick it with you guys at one of these events here. And we'll definitely make it happen. Thank you very much for coming on the show, guys. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Well, Mosdef, everybody, we're going to be doing this show again. Maybe we'll check in with them about halfway throughout the year. And, you know, we'll see what's happening. Everybody, this is the first time to the show. We do this show every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. Definitely, you know, spread the love. Go to MotoIQ.com. Definitely check it out. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell everybody. You can hit me up on Twitter, at MotoIQ Radio. You can email me, will@MotoIQ.com. If you have any topics, subjects, you know, shout outs to David Carey for giving me the idea to or a suggestion, if you will, to put this show together. So big shout outs to David Carey. And you know, if you have any ideas for topics you want me to put together for a show, definitely let me know. We'll make it happen. Let me give a few shout outs here to some of the people that are in the chat room. You know, there's so many people in here. Ferrari 812, David Carey, Direct JDM, Jared DeAnda, Will Rogie, Guest 134. I really don't know who you are, but that's cool. OMG Griffith, Hobo Heron, Joshua Heron there. Drift Mama, Studio Road, Dodo Logic, Track Midwest, J Mac from Motor Mavens, Mayday, you got an expletive in your screen in there, boss, can't really use that. Abigail Baker, Zips and Spacers, Kyle Shell, Reckless. Man, there's so many people in here. Afro Drift. Let's see. Lindbergh, what's up? I see you there. Emergency Hookers was on here. Let's see. Sam Attack Works. Corey Zinkham. Ace S13. Thank you very, 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 very much for checking out the show. Greatly appreciate it. Big shouts to June Mang. Thanks for checking out the show. I will see you guys next week. Let me see who I'm going to have on the show next week. And it is, let's see, the 7th will be my interview with Mike from AMS. So you might want to be here if you're a 4G63 fan, Evo fan, Starion fan, any fan of the Diamond Star, anything those guys do over there at AMS, definitely be here next week to check out the show. Much love and respect. See you guys next week. Everybody, this has been another episode of Moto IQ Radio. Peace.
Bye.